Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today I'm proud to continue Olympian realms with the highest heavens. And I have as my guests Nick Curto, Diane Duncan, and Mark and Phyllis Brinkerhoff. So this is going to be an exciting hour filled with lots of information and inspiration. Greetings and welcome, everybody. How are you?
Great. Good to be here.
Yes, fine. Good to be here.
Yes.
Hi, Diane. Hi, Nick.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Phyllis. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hey. And, of course, Sir Hercules. Hey.
And, of course, Hercules.
I'm here.
Right.
Now, I won't talk a lot about the ancient Greek conceptions, but I will introduce them. In the Greek way of understanding the universe in antiquity, there were the heavenly bands that surrounded the earth, each one dedicated to a planet. And they knew of seven planets, and they included the moon and the sun as planets because they wandered around the sky. And that's what the word planet means, wanderers. And beyond the bowl of heaven was the highest heaven, which was called the Empyrean, and it was full of divine energy called the Pleroma. So that's what, in a nutshell, that's what the ancient Greeks believed about the highest heaven. So I'm very curious, based on your readings and your understandings and your personal experiences, what is the highest heaven to you, and how can folks interact with the highest heaven? And Mark sparked an interest in this in our last conversation when, as we were closing, said Olympus is up there. And I said, yes, I know. So that led to thoughts that eventually became this episode. So we'll start with Mark and Phyllis, the highest heaven.
Okay. Well, that's a good question you know, there's planes, there's levels within the planes, and I've been learning a lot from Mark. I learned everything from Mark. And so when you say the highest heavens, it's a really big question.
Yeah.
I think Nick and Hercules and everybody will agree with that.
Most people think of seven planes in their ancient teachings around the planet Earth. And that's what we call the planes on the realms, or people will call the heavenly realms, which would be over the third and second plane. Which is all equal to what everybody believes and understands as astral levels. Everybody thinks of astral levels within the second, or when you leave your body at night and go to a dream state or so. But also when people die, their spirit form or their body soul, the soul will go to those levels, and they would be entering into some of the what they call low and higher astral levels would be fourth plane.
Mm-hmm.
So, and fifth plane, they in the olden days, let's see, thousands of years ago, they're calling it mental or causal planes. Where I come from, we don't call them those things, but it's okay. But I'm coming from what we call on our plane levels. Remember, they thought there was only seven normally regarding around the planet. But I come from a plane called what we would call 12th plane and beyond. There's more than that. There's 22. There's more. It keeps on going. So I come from those realms there, but in the 12th and 13th, 15th, like that, and down through the 11th and 10th, and that's where I normally would work. But I've gone through all these other planes, and part of my little mission, I guess, here, besides to get Phyllis, my soulmate, come home, was to help people hear about this more, because even in school days, in the sixth grade and all that, kids would talk about this, and I would tell them there's more than what you're saying. But there was no way for me to show it in any way or tell it. So I just knew I came from it, and I was trying to tell them, look, this is what's old, 5,000 plus years or more. But before, way before, there was space travel. There was the planet flipped a few times, many, you know, from 13,000, 12,000 years cycle with the solar sun and everything. But I came to help with that understanding. So I come from a 12th plane. And within all the planes are levels. And this is what other people might say, oh, there's dimensions within dimensions and within dimensions. And that's kind of what it means. But I've been narrowing this down with the crew. you know, so we're calling it levels within the planes.
What we're doing, and I'll just jump in and say fast, that we're working on a book. We're working on 4 or 5 books right now, but we're going to put this, we call it Levels of Consciousness 101. We're going to put this section in every book, in the front of every book, so people will get have an understanding of what Mark is speaking about when he says where he's coming from. And so we've been going through just the levels of plane one, which is Earth right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the levels around other planets would have different descriptions to them based on their level of evolution, spiritual evolution.
Yeah. Now what we call it here on Earth, I guess, with the teachings, the highest astral plane would be what we call the fourth plane. And that's what some of the people call Summerland, or you'll see your pets there, you know, in the heaven by Christians and all those people. Fifth plane, we call it celestial plane on the high realms. And that's what people might call the second heaven. So there are many levels of the heaven realms. And even in the plane that you're on, like say the fourth plane, there's levels within that fourth plane of heavens. So like where you think you go or believe you will go. And so there's a heaven for the Christians, there's a heaven for the Buddhists, there's a heaven for every single being, the belief systems. So that's the level, Hercules, where I've seen the Olympian people. That's also a heaven where I've seen others from other times that maybe have long gone now. The fifth plane, some people call it second heaven. You could see people up there, and including people of the Olympian realms. You can, because there's levels within the levels. Then the sixth plane here is called a celestial plane as well. In biblically, it's referred to as the third heaven. And that's a high teaching level. That's a really beautiful place. Now, people don't go back to reincarnate on the sixth plane. They have a last chance to reincarnate if they want on the fifth plane. Third and fourth plane, they come back and reincarnate as if they have more teaching they want to do. Then you got the seventh plane, which is a low cosmic level frequency. It's the last plane around the planet Earth that's on densities of this type. After that, you go into the higher realms that are cosmic levels, and then into universal and omniversal planes of light. Celestial levels are around 1 through 7. So when you hear about celestial levels, that's the 1 through 7th plane. That's celestial.
Okay.
So we can, you know, I'm coming from a different level altogether, but it keeps on going. 8th plane would be a pure cosmic level. 9th plane would be a high cosmic. 10th would be a higher cosmic level. People might call it nirvana or bliss. I Am Presence is there. The soul families. 11th plane, universal level. And the 12th plane, high omniversal, universal level. And then onward from there is the high omniversal levels, 13th and 22, going on and on and on. And when you get higher, though, very high up, you're mostly a light energy. And I gave talks on this and how you're transformed and you look like a light being, similar to Knowing, the movie, where you see light people, look like people made of light. And also there's people, you don't seem to even sometimes have a sex. It's androgynous on the higher levels. Yet you recognize your friends and you can recognize people who are focusing as male or female, but they might not have that form at all because they're moving into a light energy form of a human that's you can still touch. And it's amazing. It's just, but most people form their body form to work with. Coming down from 14, 13, 12, and on the 12th plane is why I focus there a lot, because we do a lot of teaching there, and that's, everything's physical in every plane you're on. Whatever plane you're on, you're as physical feeling as you are. It's just that the density of your body form is lighter in different ways on the 12th and the 10th and the 7th. It goes up, you get lighter and lighter and feeling, even though you could be a tall being, like a 50-footer, you know. So it's just densities, as we call them on the other side. We call them densities. People here call frequency, but there's a frequency within the densities, and that's the higher realm frequencies. And that's why there's so many what we call the dimensions within levels and levels within planes. And again, I'm trying to help people. We're trying to do that with people,
and
help them understand.
And remember, when Mark says heaven, he means plane. So like if he says the fourth heaven, he really means the fourth plane. So we sort of need to start, even though those are heaven realms,
we need
to start kind of using the same terminology whenever we're speaking.
Earth's heaven realm is not around Mars.
But one of the things I've come to understand being with Mark is that, you know, because this has been going on for such a long time with him, just trying to understand all of this, is that the 12th plane, right, which is not attached to any planet, is a plane where great interaction occurs between galactic councils. Just things that run the basic universe are really being orchestrated on the 12th plane, where you can, from what I've heard from Mark, these types of galactic meetings are going on with these beings, very high spiritual beings, which are very concerned, of course, with what is going on in all of the planes that are beneath the 12th plane.
That's happening on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th planes. We do a lot of things. And I give people ideas of, like, let's say the 11th plane. You learn and train on seeing into ultraviolet and infrared frequencies, and there's finer training. And so soulmates move together with love. There's people as soulmates. Twin souls are different. Twin souls are more like what we call soul group families like that all resonate with each other.
Well, they don't understand that, actually.
No, people don't. Soulmates are resonate with each other.
People mix up twin souls with soulmates. A soulmate is a one only. A twin soul, which sounds incongruous.
Or people call them twin flames, means like males.
Could be many people. Could be your soul family.
Right, and a twin flame could be a male and a male and a female and a female. Could be a female and has her sister. Could be a twin flame, and it means you resonate so well, you've known each other forever, and you get along totally forever like that. They can have a fight, but they're back together. It doesn't matter. So it could be men and women, women and women, men and men, and it could be different ways in any way. Brothers.
We call them soul groups, but the soul mate, just so you understand, is a one only.
Right.
That's where people get it confused.
On the higher realms, we have one only that we are with. And Phyllis's oversoul is my soulmate, my oversoul soulmate. And she's an aspect of that oversoul here. And I came into, I didn't have karma here. I didn't have to come in. We talked about it on the high realms, and they said to help, we can get in. We can get into the planet, on the planet. We'd be able to help. Because then once you're on the physical density here, guys, you have a voice here. You have a voice here. On the high realm where you're in the 10th or 11th or 7th, we could, you know, shout all you want, but nothing's happening. But as soon as you step on the physical density of the first plane, as we call it here, when you're physically walking the planet Earth like this, like we are, we have a say. We have a voice. And what we say has meaning on the frequencies here, and you hope that you can help others. And that's why most souls came in who... from reincarnating for many, many thousands of millions of years ago, I'd say, they came in to start, really, to learn and to help. You know, and as others got stuck a little, they were coming in to help. So karma starts in, you know, whatever they're doing, maybe cause and effect, let's say. So when I came in, I didn't have a reason to come in here. I just thought we could do it. Phyllis is the reason. I meant I didn't have lives here before. I had no connection to be here. I was just a visitor
Just to clarify, the reason he came in now.
So this is my reason, yes. My only reason.
The reason he came in now at this time in human history.
Because of what the plans.
Is because we're coming up to an end time. We're in an end time scenario.
I know. I don't want to bring that up again, but in truth, it is the 12th to 13,000 year cycle. Nick's aware of it now, and other people, we're trying to let people know. I was telling my parents since I was a little kid, I said, you know, things are going to happen, and it's going to be caused by the sun. And I was a little kid, so I couldn't explain what I was knowing. I wasn't an astronomer or any of that stuff. But as time comes, it's always come through. And my dad, who loved astronomy, would always say to me, how did you know that? And how did you know that about the solar system? I'm 4 years old. But see what I mean? That's what I mean. That's what my life was like, as confusing and strange what happens. So we can see that there's going to be something happening to our solar system. It's already happening on the planets. And that's the reason I came in, to try to help people understand about the other side, the dimensional planes as well. Because where you focus to is where you're going to go towards.
And
so that helps.
We have four more minutes, and then we're going to go to Nick Curto. So it's very clear we're going to need a part two and a part three to this topic, though.
So
we're on the heavens.
I just want to jump in and say that that's why we actually think it's really important to get a grasp of the levels and the planes, because once you transition to the other side after this particular life, if you have that in your mind as an idea and as a concept and as a curiosity, you will be shown information which helps with your spiritual evolution.
And that's exactly it. We have to ask. On the other side, you're not just going to go, unless, I mean, it's really strong in your mind where you want to be, but if there's other things and you don't know about them, you're not going to ask about them because you don't know, and no one's going to tell you because it's free will. They're not going to intrude on a person until they ask a question. And on every realm I've been on, it's always the same thing. You have to ask before you're getting the information or guided to it or sent over to get to it, or they'll bring a person to help you. But if you don't ask, it doesn't seem to happen.
No,
so you find yourself in your heaven realm on your mom and dad's plantation somewhere, farms.
No one will override your free will not to know.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's an excellent place to leave this thread. Thank you very much, Mark and Philip. And now we will go to Nick Curto. Nick, have you had any extraplanar experiences personally?
Well, that's a great question. There's a couple of things I want to share. I don't even think that I have even discussed this with Mark and Phyllis, who are certainly beloved, wonderful friends that I have, and I celebrate that friendship. But there's been things that are going on that are very, I think, interesting. Let me share a couple of them quickly. One of them is that I've had these experiences, especially in the last few years, of looking in the mirror, and my thinking is, oh, so that's what I look like, almost like discovering where I'm dwelling in this particular body. I don't know if that sounds crazy or perhaps profound, but I have had that experience many, many times of like looking almost as I'm looking at how I'm being housed now on this time on this planet. And this is what happened, but this is only one part of my being. I don't know if anybody else has had that experience, but I have had that even recently. And that's
totally
quite something. You feel as though that you are looking at where you are now physically as almost an observer. Anyhow, I wanted to share that with you because that is something that does go on. And also that's what I'm looking at, like here on this planet. And this is what I'm looking at my age. This is what I look like. But it's as an observer, which is different than oh, this is me. It's me now. Anyhow, I just want to share that with you.
Thank you.
I've been a student of the Urantia book for maybe at least 35 years. And before that, I was raised Roman Catholic. And as a Roman Catholic, there's very little information when you pass on, when you die, of what happens at that point to you. Very little information. And I was really very much wanting to know, well, hey, guys, tell me a lot more. And there wasn't that. And then I discovered, or it discovered me, the Urantia book, and it was on the whole book is profound. It absolutely blew me away. And paper 38 of the Urantia book is titled The Urantia Life. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was in state, which means it wasn't literally blood and flesh and bone. It was a different housing of his spirit. And even people around him said that he looked different. There was something about him that was different, although they knew that it was indeed Jesus and that he had rose from the dead. There's a lot of detail in the Urantia book. The Urantia book says that there are seven different planets revolving around the center of all time and space, and that is where God, the Universal Father, resides, and that you go from one planet, which is almost like going to seven different colleges in a sense, even though they're housed on something would be called planets, and you learn to upstep your spiritual self, and you kept going up and up from your body right here, which is they're saying the lowest form of your spirit life, and mentally and physically, and finally you are ready to go to the center of all time and space, which is where God, the Heavenly Father, whatever you want to assign that name, dwells. Wow, that is pretty amazing. And they say also that eventually you can be assigned, the word I believe is assigned, to go to the outer realms of the master universe, everything that houses all the universes, into deep space, and you are there to share the knowledge, the universal and endless love of the Universal Father with others in other realms. I mean, talk about a life and a universal experience. I mean, that is, they're saying that you are bound for that realm, and that you are being educated and trained to spread the unlimited love of the Universal Father. And another part of that I just want to get in briefly is they say that who you are is a part, a literal living part of God. It is within you, and all of your experiences on this planet and others are monitored and shared by the Universal Father. And that any joys or disappointments or losses, whatever you are experiencing as a physical being here, that is all being sent, and he knows exactly who you are and what you're doing, and that increases his, what shall I say, his sensitivity, his knowledge of all of his, and they call the word creatures. I find that interesting, because when you think of beings, I don't think of the word creatures, but the Urantia book says they use the word creatures, his creatures, and we are all brothers and sisters, just like Mark and Phyllis were saying, of course we are, and that we are all in the family that God has created, and that we are literally, there's no limit to what we can learn and do in the spirit of love and understanding. It's an incredible message.
Yes, it is.
Do I believe that? I absolutely do. When I was reading it, it clicked like absolutely. It was just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this knowledge, because this is more than I ever dreamt that I would be given in this world. When I started reading the Urantia book, I had aha moments every page. I mean, it literally is that detailed. Another thing, if I have the time, I want to say that I have very rarely been in a position to say goodbye or until we meet again to some of the most wonderful people I have loved, my family and my friends who have passed on before me, and except for one instance where I was with him when he passed on, at some point I'd love to just share that with you. But I felt as though I felt badly that I wasn't there to be with them when they were transcending from this world on. And you want to be there with your loved ones, especially at such a critical moment. And, of course, that very seldom happens because a lot of people pass on and you don't have any warning at all. And I certainly didn't for the people I'm speaking of, except for one particular Jeff. My partner back when he passed on in my arms, and I felt a transition going on. Another time, my best friend Bob in a hospital was failing rapidly because he had AIDS, and I was sitting across the room, and his parents and his two sisters were with him, holding him. And when he passed on, the interesting thing was what I saw, and I'm telling you, I saw it. He, in a spirit, jumped up from his body in a flash of light and joy. I felt extreme joy that he had shed his physical body, which was rapidly deteriorating, and he was joyful. He was on to the next level of his journey. And it was an incredible experience. You'd think that at that moment I would have been crying. I was in a state of absolute joy that Bob was freed of his diseased body, and he was on to bigger and better things. I wanted to share that.
Well, thank you. That is phenomenally generous and brave of you. And thank you so very much, Nick. And it sounds like you're waking up to a grander you, and you're looking at the world through that part of you's eyes. And that is something I'm sure we've all gone through at one point in our spiritual journeys, that you're more than what you see here.
Yes, absolutely right. Well said.
And now, last but certainly not least, Diane. Diane, you have a background in theosophy. Theosophy, by the way, just to Mark and Phyllis, has seven levels, and each level has seven sublevels. So there are 49 levels, according to the theosophy in our system. And also, you're very familiar with the Urantia book, and you have your own revelations. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say about the highest heavens.
Well, thank you, Hercules, and I'm really delighted that you invited me. This is really fun. This is a wonderful
Great.
Subject. First, I want to say that both Nick and Mark and Phyllis, you did beautifully today on everything you said. I totally agree and certainly sympathized with Nick and his situation there, but everybody just did a wonderful job. I just wanted to mention a couple things, and then I'll talk about what I am thinking about the highest heaven. First, I wanted to say that on March 24th, 2023, that will be a real celebration. It's a coronation of the new sun god. And that will be, of course, Hyperion and Theia. And so Apollo, who has been our sun god for all these years, will be leaving and changing, and it will be Hyperion and Theia. So there will be something going on with the sun. There's going to be a huge change, and that is the coronation, too, which will be announcing it. So the other thing I wanted to mention, Nick, when you look in the mirror, if you look really carefully, you can see that little bit of astral, that little bit of light following every little bit of your body and your fingers and light coming out of your fingers. And you really do see that you're not just a physical body. And I always tell people that when I was in college, I got out of the car one day, and I looked up the hill to start up the track. It was a long track. But I saw a young man getting out of a Volkswagen. And he had the biggest aura around himself that I'm sure anybody has hardly ever seen. It was just huge. And I wanted to try and catch him, but I couldn't. He was too far away. But then the other time that really, really big ones were my husband and my son were playing tennis on the opposite side of me with my other son. And it was just amazing. I could see them on the other side playing tennis with us, but up above their bodies were an exact replica of each of them. And they were playing tennis too. They mimicked. Everything was perfectly the same. And it was like, I'd say at least 30 feet. So So I don't know if anyone has ever seen any that tall. But that was extraordinary to me. I could see each,
wow,
my son and my husband, and an exact duplicate, and light, of course, above them. So high, so I don't know. But my subject is what Hercules brought. Today's Saturday, August 20th, and Hercules asked me to talk on the highest heaven. I was thinking at first to talk about paradise, but that isn't the highest heaven. I always thought it was, but it's not. I had a team meeting with a large group of celestials a few years ago. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. And they told me they weren't really there, that they were really somewhere else altogether, and that they really weren't sitting in the chairs that I had prepared for them. I had it outdoors, and I had backyard chairs for everybody. There was about 25 chairs. But they said they were really on what would look like to us marble benches. They weren't, but it would look like it. And that they really were in paradise together. And they were preparing right after the meeting with me and Michael. And we were outside. It was summertime, a beautiful day. That they were going to be going up to heaven, to paradise, and they were going to have a special ceremony and worship the higher ones. Well, we didn't know who the higher ones were. I said, well, I thought you all were the higher ones. But they said, no. No, they weren't. And there were higher ones. So then when Hercules brought this subject to me yesterday, I thought, well, maybe I would ask them a little bit about what's going on here. So this that I have, and please interrupt me, Hercules, if I get too long. This is... please do. a talk with Venus. And we kind of had a talk. I was just quietly in there this afternoon asking her about this. So I was just thinking that here we are today. We're living under the rulership of Zeus and Hera in the Greek. And in the Arantia book, of course, Nick and I call him the local universe sun and the local universe mother. Zeus and Hera, and Venus told me that they've ruled this material world for over 350,000 years, just this material world. And they'll continue to rule for over 1 million years in the future. Now, before Zeus and Hera ruled, she said, Cronus and Rhea, who are the parents of Zeus and Hera, ruled for about 270,000 years. Cronus is the eternal son, and Rhea, his consort, is the eternal mother son in the Arantia book. And then before Cronus and Rhea ruled the material universes, the children of Tethys and Oceanus ruled, who were their sister and brother. Tethys and Oceanus are the infinite father and infinite mother in the Arantia book. The children of Tethys and Oceanus are called, I think it's Ophion, but I'm not sure, the male, and his consort, Eurynome. Now, maybe Hercules can help me on those. But
those are the celestial couple. They have their story is told not only in the Pelasgian Greek mythology, but also in Gnosticism. She was the creatrix, and she danced in the void, and Ophion came into existence. And then Ophion tried to steal credit for creation from her. It's a very old story, and it's very rich in symbolism.
Oh, I love what you said. I don't know, as I say, anything more than that, so thank you. She said they ruled for over 600,000 years, the material universes. Now, it said in history, and this is what the history books say, they say that Cronus threw them out of heaven and into Tartarus. I don't know if you knew that, but I don't believe that. So 350,000 years for Zeus and Hera, 270,000 for Cronus and Rhea, and altogether 600 years then. For the others. So I came up with a total of 1,220,000. Now, I'm not talking about them ruling the highest heaven. I'm talking about them ruling the material universes. And I've been talking only about three groups of rulers, Ophion and Eurynome and Cronus and Rhea and, of course, Zeus and Hera. Before these three rulers, she said, there were six other groups ruled before them, and which a total of about 3 million years with that six other groups. So you've got about 4 million, excuse me, years of ruling these material universes, and of course it goes back even further. So now these rulers did not go to battle over the ability to rule, as we're told in our histories. You know, there's always a battle, Cronus and Zeus and all this and that. They all took their turn in complete cooperation. Most of our celestials change rulerships regularly. You know, if you look at the universe, and I know you can tell Mark and Phyllis are well acquainted with so much more than I am about it, but it's like looking at the watch, you know, or a clock. All of the fixtures in the watch or clock, they're perfectly geared and everything works perfectly. So I don't think that they had wars in heaven. I think everything has been working out perfectly. So I don't think they had battles. I think that they ruled the material universes, but they do not rule, she said, the highest heaven. So what is this highest heaven? Here we have, now I'm just trying to see what she said here. Okay. The highest heaven is not material, of course. Well, neither is paradise. But I asked her some questions about it, and this is what she said. I said, number one, do Uranus and Pia visit the highest heaven? She said, no, they don't. Number two, can they see the highest heaven? No, they can't. And then three, do they talk to the highest heaven gods? And then she said, yes, and they pray to them. And this must be like the team meeting that I had in my backyard, where we asked them where they really were, and they said, well, they were in paradise, but they were praying to the higher ones, who were even higher than they were. And so then I said, well, so they know that they do exist. And she said, yes, they are the higher ones. And then I said, well, do the higher ones visit them? And she said, not visibly. And then do the higher ones give them instructions? She said, yes. The higher ones know everything that is going on in all the spiritual and material worlds. And then I asked her, how many higher ones are they? She said that Uranus and Pia and the celestials that we visit and learn about, they know of about 10, but there are more. And this is the thing, when you do study, like I know you, Hercules, and I don't know anything like you do, but they do say that Uranus and Pia, that they have brothers and sisters, and they have big families. And that there are so many gods and celestials that we can't even imagine. And there are, of course, there are lower heavens, but there is what you asked the question of, the highest heaven. There is a highest heaven. And I'm getting that the gods we know, like Zeus and Hera and so forth, they don't really know them that well. And that was what I thought was interesting. But they do say there is a highest heaven. So that's what I got. I don't know. I just was talking with her today. So
thank you. Part of the reason for these programs is to undo the, I guess, the Tower of Babel. What happens a lot of times is we're talking about the same thing, but our terminology is different. And then not amongst ourselves. We're all very civilized here, but in the larger world, people attack each other very many times over a difference in vocabulary.
Yes.
They might be saying the same thing, but it's with different words and it seems to be different. So with these shows and our conversations, I'm seeking to establish a clarity and understanding and maybe like a universal set of terms that would be helpful to anybody. Like Phyllis and Mark had said, you know, they're trying to like standardize because the words, like for instance, ether, Mark is an Aetherian. The etymology of the word ether actually means the divine fire that's high in the sky. And Hyperion and Thea were the deities of this, the ether. And in Greek, the Empyrean, the peer part of the Empyrean means the same thing. It means ether. So there's a lot of confusion because to many theosophists, ether is the anima mundi or the life forces that surround the planet. So depending on which system you've been brought up in, the word ether can either mean the anima mundi where all the devas and the elementals live and hang out, or it could mean the highest heaven that this earth has, the area around there. So it's good that we're all talking from our different vantage points and listening to each other because I feel that, again, eventually things will become clear and focused. And I know Mark and Phyllis are very well read in addition to having direct experiences. And you, of course, have been studying for as long as I've known you. And Nick knows the Urantia book inside and out, and he's had a lot of experiences himself. So I believe in these conversations that we can really clarify things for people. And it's in our popular culture now. Like, for instance, everyone knows what a multiverse is now. A few years ago, that would have been an esoteric concept for people who are geeky into science or comic books. And now everyone knows it's in the popular culture. And the same thing with the highest heaven. It's been popping up in different places. Before recently, if you knew about esoteric matters, you know that it's called Deva Loka by the Hindus. It's called Devachan by the Theosophists. It's called the Empyrean by the Greeks. It's called Indra Loka or Zverg by the Hindus. There's a lot of different words and concepts that describe the same place once you get down to it. And according to Monroe in his out-of-body experiences and other people who travel the astral, these God worlds are not the highest heaven, as you pointed out in your communication. They're highest in terms of what we can conceive as right. people on this planet. But there are indeed heavens beyond the divine light of the ethers that we just can't really understand or assimilate inside our mind what they're all about because they're not that we know. And Mark is right. In all my years of working with dreams and astral travel, every place I've been to, except for a couple times when it was like undifferentiated light where I could see in all directions, it was a very strange feeling. I was like a point of awareness in infinity. Most of the experiences, almost all of them, I'm in a body and I'm in a place and I'm, it seems solid. You interact the way you'd expect to interact. And sometimes it's very odd because sometimes you're in a body and you're out of the body at the same time floating around looking from on top. And sometimes you're just looking from on top. So the perspective changes from place to place. Again, I see value in this. We have some time, so we actually have time to ask each other questions. Mark and Phyllis, do you have any questions for either Diane or Nick?
Oh, we were muted.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious what does the Urantia book explain levels of consciousness or planes of consciousness? Does it go into detail on that?
You know, I
yes,
don't
it does.
Think they do, but they talk about circles, so maybe that's what Nick was going to talk about. Go ahead, Nick.
Right, just that there's many levels, and it does go into that very much, and are the celestial beings that are there to lovingly guide us. And I've always known that in my heart, and I've felt that many times in my life, And the Urantia book does go into that, that there are levels of communication, if you will, between celestial beings and us now in this present life. It's a fantastic, fascinating subject, and I cannot recommend the Urantia book enough. The website, the best one, I think, is www.urantiabook.org. And you can read the entire book there or listen to it. The entire book has been recorded, which is a monumental task that they actually did. Some very loving and caring people took a huge amount of time to do that, and that's all available. And now I believe it's in 27 languages. So, again, a 2,000-page book, and it has been expanded so people can enjoy and learn from it in many languages and even listen to it if they are blind or just would rather listen as opposed to reading the pages. So I just wanted to put that in there.
Thank you, Nick.
I think one of the problems that we're facing today, I mean, probably the biggest problem that we face on the first level of consciousness at the place on this level where we all exist, is that there hasn't been unified education in a particular way throughout the entire planet or civilization. So what we have is disparate knowledge coming from all different particular directions, and most, I don't know how spiritual actually most people are. I think, like Nick said, the Catholics, which we grew up Catholic, and there's quite a few of them on the planet, weren't given any information to speak of regarding, you know, the things that we're talking about today, levels of consciousness. It's like you die and you go to heaven, hopefully, or you go to purgatory.
Yeah, that's why the nuns were mad at me, because I'd fight them on everything.
So
and I went with the catechism. It wasn't my school. It was after school. I was a little kid.
But you know,
I said, there's no hell.
That's that religion that we know personally because
yeah.
We grew up that way. But then there's all the other religions which have their versions of what we're all talking about. And so there's been no unified educational system because this is a very unconscious level that we're living on, and it's very difficult to even. Thank you, Hercules, for even bringing the topic up, because it's not a topic that generally gets tossed about in general. So it's just like what we're all doing here on this planet. I mean, you know, not people like Mark, because he doesn't really belong on this planet, but the rest of us, we're trying to make our way through what we're seeing, learn as much as we can, and those of us, like I would say the ones that are listening to this show and obviously on this panel, understand very clearly that we are in a spiritual evolutionary process, and that I believe many people have no clue about that.
My story doesn't match this planet Earth, so I am talking from another time, place, and time in the universe. I visited here, but I came in different ways and different times. And I saw the mythologies were formed, and I saw, you know, the stories were stories they were doing, and true things happened, real things happened. Thousands and thousands, millions of years ago, these people came, the Titans, I would call them, and they were very, very tall. And you could see how the local beings at the time would think they were like gods, but they were not gods, they were space people. And mythologies and stories started up, the same thing with the ancient texts. All the old texts and things. There were wars, there were battles. So even though, and I've not studied these things. I know people think I read a lot. I don't. I only bring in what I know and what I've remembered and have been allowed to bring in, is because I've asked if I'm allowed to bring this in. And they've said I can now bring what Phyllis and I are writing now on. And we were holding back for a while. But a couple of years ago, we were teaching on some of the levels or planes, as we call them now. We'll call them the planes. But I can only say I'm not from here. I don't know and don't study, and I've never studied the Hindu Upanishads, anything like that, because I knew there was space travel. They were doing different things than the visitors that were coming at that time. I know Krishna. The being that they called Krishna on Earth is a space being, and he's a blue person. That's exactly the color they are. The beautiful blue that you see, there's blue people. And they're in these other galaxies as well, as ours. So when I saw pictures, and I said, oh, that's those people. Oh, yeah, they're there. Because I see them on the ships. When I came in here conscious, I'm not reincarnated or anything like that. I came in fully conscious when I was went into my mother's body, when the other soul left the body of the baby that was there. So I'm conscious, what I call conscious walking. We have no word for this. But I remember the past where I came, when the galaxy before, and I remember the people. So when I recognize people who I know from space, other times, other places, I'm brought toward them, or I come to be friends with them, or they come to be friends with me, and I recognize them. So, you know, Nick is seeing from his perspective, and now he's seeing in the mirror, and we've all had things like that, but now Nick is seeing he's more than he is. He knows he's more. But suddenly you're there being that observer, Nick, like you said, and you're seeing yourself, and you're saying, wow, that's what I am right now. That's at this moment in this place. And like when I was out in space and they showed me a way to tell people about oversouls. You were a big salt shaker they showed me in space. Everybody, it's a metaphor. A giant salt shaker. They said, this is you, the oversoul, the salt shaker, filled with salt. All the salt inside the shaker are aspects, and one of those grains in that salt shaker and so is you right now on Earth. So Nick is one grain of his oversoul aspect right now on Earth, but he's recognizing his completeness and his uniqueness and his oneness with his oversoul, his complete self, and he's seeing from the oversoul's perspective, which is that observer too, as well as sometimes the higher self observer, because I'm a higher self being here right now. And that's what Ingo said to me. He said, oh, you're your own higher self here? I said, yeah, but I don't tell people. But that's the thing. You're seeing that, and that's the perspective, Nick, when you said that. You said, oh, it's beyond that. I've seen that. And that's what it means when you feel that and see yourself in the mirror and say, that's me, but that's just a one of me right now on this planet at this time. The other me could be an aspect of you on another system in Lyra as a cat person. Like, I like to promote my cat friends. They're cat-like people. They're beautiful. So, like, you might be there, too. Okay. And that aspect might recognize you.
But I just want to
on a spaceship.
I just want to clarify a little bit, because when you speak, when Mark speaks,
we only have a minute.
Oh, we're
almost out of time.
Oh, we're, okay.
I just want to quickly say that. I just wanted to say fast that he's talking about different levels on different planets, and like because we're not all just on the first level.
Not on the first plane.
When
right.
we visit if we're visiting a planet, we're visiting different levels of a planet. Or when he says cat people, they're not operating on the first level of their planet; they're on the fourth level of their planet. But anyway,
fourth plane.
I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
That's why it's hard
Thank
for me to
so
go along
much.
And understand what you're saying.
And actually, this is an important conversation. Are any of you free on the Monday? We can continue it Monday, same time, if you're free.
This coming Monday?
This coming Monday.
22nd?
Yes, I can.
The 22nd, yes, really? Same time.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock your
Did
time,
say-
yes.
Oh, yes, okay. I can. She's
on the west
if
coast.
If you have time.
9 o'clock our time.
Sure.
We're fine.
I think we're good.
Okay,
yeah.
Nick, are you free?
I believe I am. I got to look at my calendar, and I will email you, but I hope I am, because I would love to be part of that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And if you'd all kindly, we'll start with Nick. Nick, can you share how people can contact you?
The easiest way is my email, and that is nicknyny1, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Again, nicknyny1 at gmail.com.
Thank you so very much. Diane, how can people contact you?
Oh, sure. Through Michael's email, it's Michael Duncan, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, D-U-N-K-I-N, 1, the number 1, at hotmail.com.
Thank you so very much. And Mark and Phyllis?
Okay, we're intergalacticmission.com, and email it on all of our websites, etuniversalzone.com, is Mark Brinkerhoff at yahoo.com.
That's Mark with a C.
Mark with a C.
Also, you can follow Mark on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook, guys.
And
yeah.
Also, Mark has a YouTube channel where he posts some of his UFO
photography. Yeah. And I'm available for anybody who wants soul readings or whatever they do, whatever they... I talk to your oversouls and all this. It's
and,
okay.
And we'll go in that direction, too, in part two, because Nick had brought up the experience that he had, and all of us have had experiences with our higher self or our oversoul or the spirit overshadowing us, or it could be expressed in a variety of different ways.
Yes.
So let's talk about that divine something that we truly are.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Hercules.
Thank you.
Sounds
all
like fun.
You're awesome, and these conversations are awesome. Thank you all for listening. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you're sitting patiently in our queue listening live, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we have a couple of minutes, so I'm going to play one of Michael's songs because Michael can join us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. God bless.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Much love to everyone. Everywhere.
Love you,
much
everyone.
Love.
Love you all.
Love you all. Let me about two Bragas from the crew.
I want you to hear the song.
God bless the world. 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 God bless. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world.
Dear Lord, shine your face upon us and bless us, every one of us.
God bless the world.